Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
Great to be here today. I want to quickly say hello to Verdun and to Lobethal and to Mount Barker. Let's give them a round of applause for joining us here at Allgate. We love you. Welcome. We are gathering today as one church across many locations because that's who we are. That's what God's been doing amongst us. It is a joy and a privilege to gather as one. We have been in a series. If you have not been with us, for whatever reason, we've been in a series which we are calling God's Vision for Your Life. And the heartbeat of this series is to partner with Baptist churches from right across the world. If you have been here, you've heard this week in, week out, but I'm going to say it again, that at the Congress, World Congress last year, the leader of our global movement, Elijah Brown, got up and he just shared this vision to say, Jude was there, this vision around this, what would it look like for the Baptist Church to catch the heartbeat of God? And on the 2,000-year anniversary of the church, 2033, to see the vision and the mission of the church fulfilled, that the gospel truly would be proclaimed in every nation and every tongue and every tribe to the very ends of the earth, what would that look like? And there was this mandate, this call to say, well, what if we all gathered as one and we just came back to the very core of what the mission of the church is, the Acts 2 movement. So we've been partnering with Baptist churches, which is super exciting, and God's been doing a great work. And we've been looking at what we see, that God's vision for our life is that we would simply be disciples, that we would simply hear his call and follow him, that we would walk in obedience. And we've looked at what a disciple is, that we talk about this cycle of a discipleship. And yes, cycle, we're still trying to figure out how the best way to say that is, because it's not really a cycle. It's more like some kind of Venn diagram vortex where everything's involved at any given moment. But the idea, if we put that up there, this idea of belonging, believing, beholding, becoming, and building. And all of these elements are essential to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If any one of these elements is missing, our discipleship suffers and therefore the kingdom call suffers. But when every element is present, when every element is being strengthened, the church is being strengthened, the gospel is going out, the lost are being found, and we're seeing the mission fulfilled. Amen? And so this is what we've looked at. We've looked at belonging. We've looked at believing. We've looked at beholding. Last week we looked at becoming. And today is the last message in this series as we look at the call of God to build. And so without further ado, I'm going to throw to the video that we've watched most weeks, which is the video that was launched at World Congress, which talks about Acts 2 and the movement we're stepping into. Can we play that now across all our campuses?
An Acts 2 church is a church in action. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The message continued to spread. The movement continued to grow, reaching from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Yet today there are still billions of people who remain unreached. The world needs a church now that is like the church when it began, full of Holy Spirit power and a passion to share the gospel. As we near 2033 and the 2,000-year anniversary of the church's birth, Acts 2 is still the roadmap to reach the world. Millions of believers devoting ourselves to the word, to prayer, to witness, to give, to believe in faith that what God did then, he will do again today. So the Baptist World Alliance is calling every believer and every church to unite in unprecedented global collaboration, to pray for the Holy Spirit to move in power, to seek renewal and revival, to share gospel witness in every language, every neighborhood, every nation. The Acts 2 Church in action. Now is the time. We are the church, together taking up the cross of Jesus. Will you join us?
Isn't that super exciting? I'm super excited about what God's doing. Now, there's a lot happening in the church at the moment. There's a lot happening in our services today. As Nick's already said here at Allgate, that we have baptisms happening. We have some mission sharing later on. There's a lot going on. And I've already missed something I was supposed to share before I started. But it's good because we're on the stream and everyone needs to hear this. First and foremost, you may or may not be aware that Beck Dover, who has been serving as the secretary of our governing council for the last however many years, her and Des and her family have been given an opportunity to go and spend 18 months working in Tasmania, which is sad, but it's also really a great opportunity for their family. So that means Beck is stepping down as the secretary of our governing council. It means that obviously there's some spots, so we're going to be co-opting on some people, and we ask just for your prayers around that as a governing council. But we want to thank Beck. So Beck, we thank you. Des, we thank you, because we know releasing Beck for many, many hours over a long time is a huge thing. The Dover children, we thank you for the way that you have released your mum. And Beck, you've just been such an outstanding servant in that area. We love you so much. We're so grateful. We are praying God's blessing over you on the trip. It's more than a trip, it's 18 months of work. But yeah, we're so grateful for all that you have done. And I know that we're going to pray over you for done as well. But I just want to quickly pray for the Dover family right now, if that's all right. So Lord, we thank you for Beck. We thank you for Des. We thank you for the kids. We thank you for all that they're doing and have done. And we pray a blessing on this next little season. May it be a time of connection. May it be a time of growing them, extending them. May it be fruitful. And we just look forward to all the stories that will come out of it. And so go before them. Protect them and guide them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The other thing to be aware of, if you've read the newsletter, which comes out monthly, is as of June 1, I am taking some long service leave, which is great. I'm not awesome at resting, but it's going to be a great opportunity, I guess, for me just to take a deep breath and to come back even more fired up than I already am. And in that season, so I'm going to be taking leave from the 1st of June to the 17th of August. And while I am away, Nick Van Ruth is going to be stepping into the acting senior pastor role. So it's totally appropriate that we get Nick up the front and we pray for him as he steps into that. Because next week I'm preaching at Norton Summit, sharing some stuff which we'll talk about later with them. And that's important that I do that before I go and leave. So this is our chance to pray for Nick. So why don't we stand to our feet across all our campuses. And if you want to come in here at Allgate and lay hands on Nick, that'd be great. Come on, let's not be shy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Nick. We thank you for Emily, for Josh and Noah. We thank you for their family. Lord, we thank you that you have gifted and equipped him with everything that he needs for life and godliness. We thank you that he has the tools and he has your spirit, and therefore you will sustain him and enrich him as he steps into this acting role. May you empower him. I pray that we as a church family would lift up his arms, that we would lift up their family in prayer, that we would be supporting them and encouraging and championing them and carrying them and helping them wherever possible. And Lord, it's you who builds your church. You are the head of the church. And so I just thank you for Nick's willingness to step in and serve you with the gifts that you've given him. And so may this not be a tiring season, but may it be a blessing. May this be something that fills his cup, not drains his cup. Lord, may he just be filled with joy inexpressible to overflowing. We pray for unity amongst the whole team, across the whole church, this shared vision that you've given us would only be strengthened more and more. And we just thank you so much for him. We bless him in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Bless you, brother. So good. I think I've said everything now. Great. All right, let's get stuck into the word. So we're in Acts chapter 2. We're looking at this idea that God would want to partner with humanity in the building of his church. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes this seems like a really strange idea to me. Anybody? Particularly for our Verdun and some of our Lobethal crew, you might remember when we first started Littlehampton, our first plant out of Aldgate, I had this idea that how do you make a small blue-floored gym feel like home? And so we had the idea of that we would string festoon lights. We're like, well, how do you string festoon lights in a blue small gymnasium? And we needed some stands. I was like, I've got a great idea. What we're going to do is just go get some wood, like just some timber, and we're going to build some stands. And some people are probably laughing at other campuses because you remember the stands. It was just one big plank of wood up the middle, and then it was four little bits that came off the side with a few brackets, and they just stood there, and we strung the festoons off, and then we made four of them. And I was tasked, because it was my idea, to build these things. And some of you would know that my tool belt consists of a Bible and a microphone. It doesn't consist of hammers and drills very often. So I went to a friend of mine. I said, hey, like, I need to whip up. I use the word whip up. I need the phrase. I need to whip up four light posts to string festoons. I was like, yeah, no worries. Easy. We can do that. Come on over. I was like, great. So I threw the wood in the back of the trailer. And I went to his house. He had the drills there. He goes, yeah, easy. It was just this, 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 and this. He goes, you get cracking, and I'll give you a hand. So I'm off. I'm like, right, first we've got to cut the timber in the right spots. Got to put the brackets in. Got to screw it in there. And then about halfway through constructing mine, I noticed that my mate is behind me just giving encouragement and feedback. You know, like tap me, like, oh, that's good, yeah, just do that, just do that. I'm thinking, are you going to do anything, mate? Like, you said you were going to help. I didn't mean just encourage me. I thought you'd go. And then I stood up and I looked over and there were three light posts. Fully finished. Standing there in perfect array. And there I am, halfway through number one. And I looked at him and I said, you didn't need me at all, did you? And he just goes, no. He goes, but it was a lot of fun doing this together, wasn't it? And sometimes when I think about God's call to build the church, I'm like, that's how he must feel with us. You with me? Like, let's be honest. God is God. God is God. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He put everything in its place. And yet, for some reason, in his infinite wisdom, God has said, I want to achieve my kingdom ends through humanity. And it's not a new thing, it's a creation thing, right? When God created the heavens and the earth, what did he do? He created Adam and Eve, and then what happened? He said, he gave them dominion over the earth to do what? To work and to keep. What does that mean? It means to grow the garden, to see Eden expand across the earth. That was God's intention. He's like, here it is. Now you go. I'm with you. You go and do the work. The problem is that Adam and Eve did their thing. So then he raises up Israel to do the same kind of thing. Israel, you go. You be my ambassadors. You be my hands and feet. You be my light bearers. Go and bring my DNA and get that across the earth. What does Israel do? Well, they fail as well. And so in Christ, God unites himself with humanity, does the work of paying the cost of sin and death, descends, rises from the dead that death might be defeated once and forever, ascends to the right hand of the Father, sends of his Spirit to fill the church that the church might do what? fulfill its Eden mandate. To go and see Eden expand across the earth. That we might go and proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. God wants to work through humanity. And beloved, today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day we celebrate what God did in Acts 2. In pouring out his Spirit. When he said, Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father, that the Helper would come. Because he understood something, that God wanted to fill the church. He wanted to make the church his living, indwelling temple, that we would go and see the kingdom of God expand. He chooses to work through humanity, which means we have a role to play, regardless of how insecure, inferior, inept we feel. Regardless of the fact that you could just build the light posts and I could have just sat back and just watched you and it would have been done better and quicker instead of having three posts that stand beautiful and one that was wobbly for 5 years. But that's not God's heart. God's heart is to partner with humanity. And so today we look at this kingdom call of God to say, well, we're not going to look at the why because that's a really deep theological question that we don't have time with because I promised everyone I'd be really short today. But we are going to look at this idea of how. How do we build? How does the church build? What's our role? What does this look like for us to heed this call to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, knowing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is not only with us, but he is in us and enabling us and empowering us to go and do this work. Yeah? Amen? Is that good? So here's how we go. How did they do it? Well, John Piper says something really profound in his book called Don't Waste Your Life. And in this book, Don't Waste Your Life, he makes a comment. He says, here's how the early church lived. He said, I'm going to read this. He said, they lived to prove that God, he, was more precious than life itself. When we read Acts 2, when we look at what we just, they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, breaking bread in their homes, eating together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They lived their lives to prove that God was more precious than life itself. In every facet of their life, they lived their lives to prove that God was more precious than life itself. In their time, they devoted themselves to this kingdom call. In their talents, they devoted themselves. They gave of themselves to this kingdom call. In their treasure, they generously gave of what God had first given them that the kingdom of God might be manifest on the earth. This is how they lived their lives. Friends, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. That if we, the church, Jesus' body would live our lives in such a way to prove that he is more precious than life itself because he is life, everyone around us would be filled with awe. Wonders would happen. And we would see people being added to our number daily. The problem is we don't live our lives to prove that he is more precious than life itself. We need to be renewed in that reality. We need to be renewed in the truth that this life is fleeting, that it is here today, gone tomorrow, that this is but a shadow of all that we have been created for. We need to reclaim the kingdom, the heavenly glimpse, the wonder and the splendor of who God is, to realize that he is above everything. He is all things. Like, he is glorious and worthy of everything and so much more. And if we caught a glimpse of that, our lives would begin to look different from every other life around us, and it would be attractive. Because it's not just what we say, it's who we are. It's why the Spirit of God comes to indwell, that we would be flamethrowers on the earth. That we would be light bearers. This is the call of God on the church. How does this happen? Because in and of ourselves, I don't know about you, in and of our own flesh, I'm constantly believing a lie that the things of this world are more important than the things of eternity. And my heart and my mind and my soul need to constantly be reminded and redirected. That I would give of my time and my talent and my treasure to the kingdom cause, knowing whatever comes out of that, that's a building that's going to stand the test of time. That's a building that's going to endure into eternity and not be burnt up like chaff. I don't know about you, I want to build with precious stones. Anybody else? How do they do it? How do they live lives that prove he was more precious than life? Well, I got three things for you because I'm a Baptist. One, they build by the power of the Spirit. Come back to the beginning of Acts chapter 2, friends. When the day of Pentecost came, everyone say Pentecost. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled, everyone say filled, with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, they lived, they built the kingdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't build in the power or the strength of their own wisdom, might, understanding, by the power of their own intellect and charisma. They built by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul says, the Apostle Paul. He says, I did not come to you with wise and persuasive words, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit and of, come on, Lobethal. Power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Paul was wise and persuasive. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's one of the most intellectual, brilliant human beings to ever walk the planet. And he says, I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words. I came with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, Paul understood that the power wasn't in his intellect. The power was in the fact that he was a transformed being. Think about who Paul was before. He was a Pharisee. He was persecuting the church. The Spirit of God got a hold of him, and he gave his life for the very thing he was persecuting. There's no greater demonstration of the Spirit's power than a transformed life. There's no greater miracle than a transformed life, that someone who was lost and is found, that someone who was caught up in darkness and now is glowing with glorious light. No greater power. And this is what God wants to do in and through us, that God has uniquely created and fashioned, called and equipped every single person in this room and that room and the other room and the other room and everyone online. And he's put his Spirit in us that we would go and make disciples according to the gifts that he has given us. It doesn't mean that we throw the towel in on the thing I'm doing, be like, right, in order to see the kingdom grow, you know, I'm a great athlete. I'm just going to throw athletics away and I'm going to just preach the gospel. Maybe that's you, but I always come back to Chariots of Fire with Eric Liddell. Anyone seen that? Yeah? If you haven't, well, it's probably a book first. So read the book and then watch the movie. Eric Liddell, true story of a sprinter, and he wanted to go into ministry and he was torn. He was like, what's the call of God on my life? There's this famous line. He says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And he ended up getting to proclaim the gospel by making a stand for his faith on the highest, like at the Olympic arena. He used the gift that was in him and he ran for God's renown. Some of you are gifted in education. Go and be the best teacher you can possibly be and let your light shine amongst those kids, taking every opportunity to declare the goodness of God through the content that's in your curriculum. Some of you in this, like across our church, surgeons, lawyers, accountants, gardeners, builders, plumbers, and that's your gift and that's your calling and that's your anointing. Go in the strength that God has given you and make disciples. Go and let the work of your hands be for his glory and his renown. In whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. I grew up, there was a sign on the toilet door. You know how some people have math? You got your times tables on the toilet door? In my house was a sign that said, it ain't worth a thing if it's not for the king. Thank you, Mum and Dad. Multiple times a day, just declaring that promise over my life. It ain't worth a thing if it's not for the king. But that doesn't mean that I have to throw in the thing and only do this. No, what tools are in your tool belt? With whatever tools are in your tool belt, go in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit and shine the light of God. Let it be for his renown. Use your talent and your time for his kingdom call. That's what it means to build by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean to walk past people with a microphone and bang them on the head and see them fall over. It means to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever you have been placed. Amen. Number two, they built at the leading of the Holy Spirit. They weren't just in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were, by the way, I should have called that prompting. Then we would have had two P's. That would have preached better. Anyway, sorry, John T. They built at the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I got saved, I was in a Pentecostal environment and I believed a little lie. I believed this little lie that the leading of the Holy Spirit meant that you didn't plan anything, you didn't think through anything, you didn't strategize at all. You were just airy, fairy and a bit flaky and just open. And whatever God prompted in that moment, you'd try and do. Now, there's probably elements where it's being open to the whisper, to be able to be interrupted. And I think Jesse preached this the other week, but if all we're constantly having to be is interrupted, then we've missed something. Actually, to be led by the Holy Spirit is to discern where the wind is blowing. I love the fact that the Spirit came like a rushing wind. Because the Spirit came to like a rushing wind to a group of fishermen. Now, a group of fishermen are used to boats and they're used to discerning where the wind is coming and setting their sails to the wind. Oh, what would it look like for us as the church to set our sails to the wind, to go, Lord, what are you doing right now? How are you calling us to take a leap, to take a step? Not just being airy, fairy and flaky and just sitting here in our comfort and going, oh, the Spirit's saying this. No, when the Spirit is blowing, there's a part of being led that you have to set your sails. It requires an investment. It requires us exiting comfort, going through fear into this place of conviction and faith. And saying, Lord, what's next? And I've got my dear friend Ryan Valley here, who's a strategic director of Alpha Australia. And I'm going to, Ryan, come up. We've got a senior pastor's conference this week and Ryan's here for a part. Let's welcome Ryan right across the church. I love Ryan with all my heart. When I spend time with Ryan, he makes me just love Jesus more. And I just want to ask Ryan a few questions because Ryan travels not just around Australia but around the world and is really in this space of where is the wind blowing? What is the Spirit doing? And so, Ryan, three questions for you, just quickly. One, firstly, what are you seeing in Alpha right now?
This is really a moment where it's a lift up your eyes, see the harvest field moment across Australia, across the globe. Last year, we had 140,000 Australian participants in Alpha Exploring Faith. In a year where this has never happened before, every Baptist church agreed across Australia that we would run Alpha together. And we had a record number of people come to faith. And of course, it's not about Alpha. Use whatever works. But Alpha is one of those tools I know you guys use a lot here at this church. And it's an exciting moment, particularly in Gen Y, Gen Alpha. Young people are just hungry. Whereas previous generations, they're almost inoculated to faith because they know a little bit about it, just enough to, but not enough to be like, I'm curious. There's a cultural narrative of secularism as having a crisis of faith right now. And there is such a hunger for something more because there's a recognition we can't make it on our own. And so these young people are coming, wanting to explore faith. And the young people are running Alphas in their schools with their friends. We just saw 600 young people across Australia gather to make plans to run it in their school. I'm hearing stories about Alphas being run in their workplaces. People who are just saying, look, I used to see my workplace as a battlefield. Now I see it as a harvest field. And so there's just this growing momentum that God is on the move. I'd like to say it's something Alpha did. No, it's the Spirit that is opening doors, stirring in people's heart, and God is on the move.
Yeah, amen. So that's you'd say this is the cultural moment that we're in.
Absolutely.
That God is moving. Anything else you want to speak to that you could see in this cultural moment that we as the church could be aware of?
Yeah, look, McCrindle Research says that 1 in 4 would come explore questions of faith if they're invited by a friend or family member they trusted. And that number goes to 1 in 2 if you're below the age of 25. Now, we have all come...
Hang on. Just say that again, because I'm not sure Verdun was listening.
Verdun.
Just say that stat again, because we need to get this in our spirit. Say that again.
1 in 4 would come explore questions of faith and life if they're invited by a friend or family member they trusted. That number moves to 1 in 2 if you're below the age of 25.
1 in 2 below the age of 25. 50% of Australians.
And yet, NCLS has revealed that 2/3 of Australians don't know somebody that regularly goes to church. Like, where could they go? Where could they turn to explore? Can you imagine if we were simply to pray, invite, and bring? Like, be prayerfully saying, God, how can I step into a conversation you're already having with somebody?
Amen.
Because you're stirring in their hearts. How can I have the courage to invite them? Can I have a moment of courage that when they go through a moment of trial, transition, or trauma, which everyone eventually has, that we could share the hope that we have in our hearts?
So good.
And we bring them along, say, why don't you come, explore, and take another step towards faith?
That's amazing. Ryan, one more question for you. How can we respond to what you're seeing the Spirit doing across Australia as a church, even at a local level here as Hills Baptist Church?
Yeah. Pray, invite, bring. Just remember that the early church growth from Acts 2, 300 years, there was no building. 900 years, there was no platform for preachers. For 1,500 years, there was no Bible. There was the first church was a group of refugees, but they loved their community. They cared, and they were eager to lay down their lives to just share this hope that they had found in Christ. And so as you pray, just say, Lord, how can I catch the wind of what your Spirit's doing? It's like an eagle at the ocean. Like, you've ever watched it? It's not passive. It's just saying, God, I know. They watch with eager expectation. Say, God, how are you at work in the lives of people around me? How can I enter into that conversation you're having? Pray, invite, bring.
So good. Thanks, brother. So good. Quick math. From what Ryan just said, that's 7 million people, if invited, would want, not just be open, but would want to have a conversation about truth, about who Jesus is. 7 million Australians waiting for the church to stop just coming on a Sunday and having a good message and a good cup of tea, but to step into the calling of seeing the kingdom of God grow on the earth. The Spirit is moving. the harvest is indeed plentiful. The question is, will we go? Will we take up that mandate? Not just a call, but a gift of God to partner with Him in His kingdom work, knowing this awesome promise. Jesus said, I will build my church. Did you catch that, church? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. That means the pressure is off. How good. The pressure's off. He will build His church. All He's looking for is an apprentice to hand Him the tool. Like just to say, here's what I got. Here's what I got. Just take this and do your thing. But if we stand back, He's like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And we just like, nah, I'm out. Oh no, I'm really comfortable here, so not for me, even though you've opened that door. What are we missing out on? What joy are we missing out on? What blessing are we missing out on? There is nothing better. There's nothing more faith-filling and exciting than when you get the privilege of having a conversation and seeing faith come alive in someone's heart. It is like, ah! It stirs you up to then go and do it again. The Spirit of God is moving. Will we set our sails? Number three. They built in the unity of the Spirit. They built in the power of the Spirit. They built at the leading of the Spirit. Number three, they built in the unity of the Spirit. Friends, watch this. In two, it says they devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, bread, prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. All the believers. They sold their possessions. Every day they continued. They broke bread. What's the point that I'm making? Together. They did it together. They built in the unity of the Spirit. They built together. I was chatting with Jonty about this during the week. Jonty had a really great phrase. He said, the decentralization of our communities demands a re-centralization of mission. Now, that's an engineer's brain saying something. What he's saying is this. The world that we live in has become so individualistic and so separated that when the church is unified, that when we do it together, that when we go as one, there is such power in that, that it captivates people's imagination. That we need the church together. The church together, everyone using their gifts as one, together, encouraging one another, building one another up, sharing resources, supporting each other, going together into the kingdom call of God. I want to tell you a story and then I'm going to finish. Do you know, about 20 years ago, the church that gathered in this little building, at the time called Allgate Baptist, was having a difficult time. It was struggling to find a pastor. There had been some disunity and some quarreling. And things weren't going all that amazing. And this wonderful human being by the name of Colin Rolfs took up a pastoral call to Allgate Baptist Church. And some of you in this room, when you hear the name Colin Rolfs, you just want to say, thank you, Jesus. And some of you at Verdun, and maybe some of you even at Lobethal and Mount Barker, because Colin came and he operated in his gift, which was to call a spade a spade. And boy, did he call a spade a spade. And a love and journey with people, which is exactly what this community needed. And he brought healing and he brought unity, a togetherness. And he came for 6 months and he stayed for 7 years. And the fruit of that was a unity of spirit that opened the door for a guy called Mark Sanders to come in. And together as they teach the word and ultimately Colin handed over the reins, there was a prayer meeting that happened in this room that I'm standing in with some butcher's paper. And I don't know, maybe 100 people, maybe less, where a vision came of little fires burning all across the Adelaide Hills. And the vision was that what if God was calling us, what if the Spirit was moving, calling us to set our sails and take a leap? What if God was calling us to become a church that was planting churches? And friends, the wisdom of man says that is a dumb idea. Look at the size of this building. I remember when Mark asked me to come on board, just before we planted Little Hampton, Mark said to me, Dave, he goes, we've got the worst building and the worst footprint of any Baptist church in Australia. We've got a foyer that's 3 by 2 meters. You can fit 3 people in there. We've got a horrible car parking situation where we're utterly landlocked and get in trouble for cutting the lawn. He said, it's the worst situation ever, but God's moving. And he said, would you come? And I'll never forget that conversation because there was a few other conversations going on, but it was so compelling. It was like, do I want to be in a great situation or where the Spirit of God is moving? And I was like, do you know what? Joe and I prayed about it. We're like, we want to be where the Spirit of God is moving. And so we came, and out of a couple of hundred people at best has come a vision to be a church that plants churches that plants churches. That little Allgate Baptist church, now called Hills Baptist, has 1,800 people who call Hills home, and the Lord is only just scratching at the surface of what it is that he wants to do. Vedan, let me talk to you. You are here because a small group of people in the room I'm standing in left comfort and took a leap of faith. Lobethal, let me speak to you. You are there, standing in that room right now, sitting in that room, because a small group of people left comfort and took a leap of faith. Let me speak to Mount Barker. You are where you are because a small group of people at an old church called Mount Barker Baptist took a leap of faith, left their identity and said, God is calling us to humble ourselves, to join together with another church for a greater kingdom call. That's why you're there. Friends, the question that I have for every single person who calls Hills Baptist home is, will we take up the call to do it again? There are more churches to be planted. There are more leaders to be raised because there are more souls to be saved. There are more disciples to be made. And we can sit in our comfort and we can be like, this is great. Or we can get on the mission to which God has called us, failing forward at times, taking big leaps, but trusting that Jesus is the one who will build his church if we are willing to go. So on this Pentecost Sunday, as I invite our campus pastors up, Nick, Tony, Luke, Jonty, to lead us in a response, I want to invite everyone in the church to stand. And I want to pray an ancient prayer. And then these guys are going to lead us. So would you join me? The ancient prayer is simply this. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come like that rushing wind. Come and fill each and every one of us again. We confess, as someone prayed this morning, that we are leaky pots. We are jars of clay. But we need your Spirit to fill us afresh, to lead us, to guide us, to encourage and empower us to take the step, to talk to our neighbor, to join a friend at a footy club, to open our home to strangers, to take a very comfortable Bible study group and say, what would it look like if we multiplied? To start new missions, new opportunities to connect, and maybe even to leave the comfort of the church that we love to step into something new, that more souls would be saved and more disciples raised. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Campus pastors, over to you.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.